I'm in Croydon with Louis Counter.
The famous Croydon.
The famous Croydon.
Site of the riots.
Yes. Yeah, there are more famous things to Croydon than the site of the riots. The airport it hasn't had for some time.
That's true.
Yeah, that's very famous. And we'll come to that tomorrow. So, Louis, where did we first meet?
The same place you first met Nick Moyer.
That's a cryptic clue.
That's a cryptic clue, but you did that one because I've already listened to it. We first met in 1987 at a Cypher house party in Bedfordshire. Which was a lot of fun. And then you went with a couple of friends from school who I also am really close friends with still. So there was lots of, because you were north of London and I was south of London, but not by that much, there was lots of seeing one another, and we kept doing Cypher for a couple of years at least. Mm. Yeah, really good.
And Nick reminded me there used to be a lot of Cypher, because they used to do Easter 3 weeks in the summer and the New Year's reunion.
I did the New Year's reunion, and I ended up as a leader on the New Year's reunion, but not when it was at Clarendon. That was when it was at Wadhurst. I don't think I ever did Easter, but I did the summer ones, and I did two summer ones the first year. So I came and met you and Steph and Sarah, and Andrew came along the next year, and million people. And the next week I came home, and I was 16, so I came home. I had a couple of days at home on my own, which was really quite strange but really cool. And then I went to a different Cypher camp where I met my wife, where I met Helen.
Mm.
There you go.
Next question. Do you drink tea?
I drink a lot of tea now. I didn't used to. I didn't drink tea or coffee until I was probably in my 30s, which was very, very weird 20 years ago. And then I got into coffee, and then I got really into coffee. And I still didn't drink tea. And then we had a guy come and work in our office who used to work externally, and was used to brewing up about every 45 minutes. And after a morning where we'd made coffee every 45 minutes and I'd got the shakes, I decided I'd give tea a try. But I drink quite a lot of tea, probably too much tea.
What's your favourite cup of tea?
I have a particular blend, which I don't drink much of because it's fiendishly expensive. And surprisingly good given where it came from. There is a chap hop or a rapper called Professor Elemental, who does novelty tea bags. So I bought a set of novelty tea bags at a gig, and they're really nice. They're really good. I think that's probably my favourite tea. I like kind of English breakfast. I like Assam. Occasionally Earl Grey or Lapsang Souchong, but mostly I just like really strong kind of English breakfast tea.
So the question I'm asking everybody is, how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
Because I knew you were going to be asking that question before I started listening to the podcasts. And I thought, okay, that's an interesting question. And the responses in the podcasts to date have been fascinating, been really, really interesting. And in particular, this thing of separating out Christianity, church, and Christendom as three different things. Christianity and church I got, and I kind of would have thought of that, but the concept of Christendom as something separate is like, okay, that's really interesting. I think the thing about Christendom is, and I think that is dying in the UK, or at least going into amazing decline. And it strikes me, and I may be wrong, but it strikes me that so much of it is wrapped up with a nostalgia for the good old days where everybody went to church and everybody was a Christian. And I think the real thing is, I don't think that ever existed. And I think the nostalgia in some cases is stronger than that. And it also ignores the reality, some nasty realities about that time. It's an awful lot of judgmentalism. There was an awful lot of, you know, I used to work with somebody who was a single mother in the first half of the last century. And you could see occasionally the stigma that she felt about that, even, you know, at 50. I think there are real problems around, and I don't want to say PR because that's not quite right, there's real problems about the way that Christianity ends up being expressed. I think a lot of the time it defines itself by what it isn't and what it hates, rather than actually saying, look, this is what we think, and not necessarily just saying, yeah, we'll go along with anything. The only time that the media, at least, but quite often online when I'm relating to Christians, the only time that Christians give an opinion based on their faith is when they're attacking something or saying something shouldn't be legal, something shouldn't be done, which comes over really, really negative. And I think the other problem is that a lot of those things then tie you into a particular type of right-wing American theology, which is so intrinsically against what I see as being what the Jesus of the Bible stands for.
Recently, I have found some friends who had strong committed evangelical Christian faith in the late 1980s have left church. But I have this Anglo-Catholic friend who talks about going to church, whatever the state of his personal belief. I've been wondering whether this emphasis on personal conversionism has encouraged or even compels people who suffer from doubt to leave the church. So I wondered what you thought.
I laughed so hard when I heard this question the first time because I thought, oh, she's asking people about me.
But it's not... I hate to say this, darling, it's not all about you. There's lots of other people that I phoned up and said, or emailed really, and said, "Well, can I interview you?" Who've gone, not sure.
I'm hurt and wounded now. I think one of the things that keeps creeping up in my mind when I read the question is whether or not the person with the Anglo-Catholic background is attending church because they have a faith and they believe it, or because it's traditional and something they should do.
I think it might be more because they're looking for God and they have an understanding of sacraments. They're looking for God to bless them through them being in church.
Okay, because this is the first thing that I thought is, the way that I perceive the question is, would it be better if I was at church even though I didn't believe it? And that's, I don't think that's what you're asking, but it's the...
I think for me, I'm moving to more towards the yes, you should come even if you don't believe it. Because if you have some sort of quest, then you should come. Now, it may be that you shouldn't necessarily be coming to the church that you've been along to, or I just think that if you're going to search for something in community, then you need to do that. D- Do you think it's okay to be a geek now, but it wasn't in the 1980s, and what's changed?
Yeah, it is. It's so much freer, so much easier to be a geek. A friend of mine once described me as the geekiest person that he knew, and he knew some geeks. Not because my level of geekdom about one particular thing was above anybody else he'd ever met. You know, I like Doctor Who, but I'm not into cosplay. But because every single thing that I get interested in, I geek out about. I think, so yeah, it is so much easier and so much better. I think one of the things is definition of a geek. Mm-hmm. And in my head, it's being enthusiastically interested in something that isn't mainstream or something that's traditional. So if I get to the point where I travel all over the country following a football team around and I get signatures going back 60 years and I can recite who scored which goals in which matches in 20 years before I was born, I'm not a geek. I'm just a football fan. If I love a particular set of books and I'm interested in them and I want to talk to other people that like those sets of books, I'm a geek. And you go, that is odd to me. It's always been odd to me. I think there's been a breakdown of tribalism and of rigid subcultures. Because I did the heavy metal subculture in a big way. I did the biker subculture. I was involved in churches that were kind of subculturally. I did other types of music. I was involved in the Asian breakbeat underground scene. I've been involved in all kinds of... And nowadays, it used to be that if you were in one of those groups, there was a fierce sense of identity because there was a lot of judgmental stuff going on outside and it was like, you're not part of the crowd. And that's broken down. And I think it's down to fragmentation of media as much as anything else. I think I can go online and find out about anything. I think it might be partly to do with multiculturalism. But yeah, I think people are less judgmental about you being interested in stuff that they're not interested in. And so, yeah, it's much easier.
I just always think of Big Bang Theory, but obviously you've thought about it in much more depth than me.
Did you ever watch, what was it called? Ruddy Hell, It's Paul and Harry. Harry no. Enfield and Paul Whitehouse. They had a character every single week who would be out fishing with his mates and he desperately want to be talking about an art, something that he went to at the National Gallery the week before, or there was a particular ballet that he was coming around and he'd really love to go and see it, and he kind of half mentioned it and I go, what are you talking about? And he go, oh no, and back right off. And I thought, that sums up so much of my childhood and early years. And it has changed. It's really interesting. But yeah, Big Bang Theory's helped. Big Bang Theory's gone mainstream with it. And I'm now talking too much. But
next question. What would you like to be remembered for?
My immediate thought was, oh, music. You know, I've been in bands, I've released albums. Hopefully, without sounding too big-headed, community and friendships and bringing together disparate groups of people. And because I've been involved in all these different subcultures, one of my favourite things was getting together a group of people who otherwise never would have met in a neutral area and sitting down and just chatting and laughing and watching a group of friends, a group of disparate people become friendly with one another. And hopefully I've done that and I've brought people together. That's, you know, it's not what I'm famous for, but that's hopefully when people think about me, they think about the fact that I got people together and introduced people to different things and different people.
So what's your favourite thing beginning with T?
Tabletop role-playing games.
Yeah.
Back when I was a geeky teenager, I got introduced to Dungeons and Dragons. I think I was in the first year of secondary school. And there were some... The coolest of the non-cool kids were playing D&D. And I remember getting them, and then there was the whole kind of mid-80s satanic panic thing, and I ended up... Which worked really well for me, because I stopped playing D&D and started playing other games that were related to it, Middle-earth role-playing game and Traveller and all sorts of things. And I stopped playing late 80s. And my brother bought me a nostalgia gift a couple of years ago. So it's his fault. He bought me the original Redbox D&D set that I had in 1982. And I now have a shelf full of games, and I'm running lots of pulp action hero games. I'm running Victoriana games. I'm running steampunk games. I'm having a total blast. It's brilliant. My both my kids have played. I've got back together with people that I went to school with who I hadn't seen, I think, in at least one case since I was playing D&D with them when I was about 15. I've met people that I'd have never met before. I have regular conversations with guys in America and Korea and Canada and Australia about the games and what we're doing and how we do them. I'm loving it, and it's helping me break down some of my social anxieties, because I occasionally go out to cons and then go, yeah, I'll spend 4 hours playing a game with people that I've never met before. And once I get over my social anxiety, it's really good and really helps.
Thank you, Louis. Thank you for having me here in extremely sunny Croydon today.
You're welcome. It's been really nice.